On the street.
On the air.
Kaya Biz.
Inside your business. Inside your business on Kaya Biz is powered by Capitec Business Banking. Banking. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone.
It's 18 minutes now to 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. I have a quick question to ask you. Did you go to the gym today? Maybe you said you'd do so tomorrow or next Monday. The truth is, spring is here. So, as we know, not only is it good for your physical wellness and your physique, but also mentally too. It's been found that, of course, heightened levels of physical exercise does reduce levels of stress. Of course, any risk as well to certain illnesses, especially non-communicable diseases in a country like South Africa. But more so, it does heighten the level as well of social engagement that many South Africans have as they make friends, acquaintances, and even contributing to job creation within the economy of gyms as well as healthcare. So tonight we're going to speak to one of the co-founders of Planet Fitness, who'll give us some insight into the business of gyms. We're going to take a look at an organization that is celebrating more than 30 years of its exposure and experience in the South African environment. As you can imagine, within those 30 years, they've experienced many highs, a few lows, but all the time adapting to what the environment needs to such a level that they've become a sustainable and competitive counterpart within the health and fitness industry. Join us tonight. We're talking all things Planet Fitness, 30 years in the South African industry.
Kaya Biz.
Inside your business.
Joined by Managing Director and Co-Founder of Planet Fitness, Mane de Wet. Such a pleasure to have you with us and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gugu. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm super excited to speak to you because I must say it's obviously exciting to see just the legacy behind the business. But as I mentioned to you off air, I'm one of those South Africans who has recently gotten themselves into this fit and active lifestyle. And you look around the gym and you constantly see people throughout the course of the day and you think to yourself, geez, there's a strong secret sauce to this particular business model. But I guess first things first, 30 years in the industry. And having looked at your LinkedIn profile, you've been in health and fitness all your life, really.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's part of my DNA by now. Myself and my business partner, you know, when we started, I was only 26 years old. I was a young boy still. Sure. Then, you know, not knowing much, you know, being 5 years in the industry before that and deciding to, you know, start with nothing, with no money, no backing, no investors.
Brave.
And really just knocking on someone's door to say, you know, can we rent this premises from you? And striking our first deal and taking over an existing gym. And slowly but surely, just through hard work and effort and connecting with our communities and with the help of our members, building the business to where it is today. So yeah, 30 years later. Feels like yesterday that we started, you know. I'm showing my age with my gray hair, but I'm still 55 years young now. And yeah, you know, just continuing that journey and continuing to build the empire, like my business partner would say, Manny.
100%. And I let's talk about partnership, because that's actually the secret sauce as well for the both of you throughout this particular journey. You've always looked at partnership, working together, having the Planet Fitness model coming through from the US and implementing it in South Africa. But even as the years have changed, you've partnered with the right people within the running of the organization. What's it been like from a leadership point of view?
Look, I think as leaders and as partners, you know, the nice thing is that we always challenge each other, and we're so different as individuals. You know, I'm a lot more conservative, calculated. Manny's sometimes like a bull in a china shop. You know, he's go, go, go. And I think to have those personalities balance each other out, then it helps, because I think good communication and constructive disagreement in the workplace sometimes can help, you know, because you tend to look at things differently with different view sets. I mean, even now, in my leadership team, bringing in Gen Zs, millennials.
Right.
I'm doing things now in gyms that I wouldn't have dreamed of, you know, 5-10 years ago. Selfie rooms. You know, when the first Gen Z said to me, we need to put in selfie rooms, I was like, you must be joking. I'm not putting in a selfie room. And and now it's such a popular feature, you know, and it takes the people off the floor taking pictures with other members or in the change rooms, and are giving them a space where they can express themselves and get onto social media. So it's those little changes, you know, over time, that if you don't stay grounded and if you don't allow yourself to be challenged, then as a business, you will never grow.
100%. Mm. I'm so glad that you touch on that, because so often those are themes we take for granted, right? Many of us go to the gym, find a mirror and take a quick selfie, but with a dedicated selfie room, it actually speaks to meeting the needs of your consumer. Let's talk about that particular consumer and client who is the gym attendee. 30 years in the making, you must have seen some interesting shifts and changes in terms of our behavior when it comes to health and fitness.
Yeah, in some ways, I think it goes full circle. So, you know, 30 years ago, things were very basic. You know, you had your weight training area and you had your group X studio.
And that
you
was always for the guys.
That was for the bodybuilders, yes. And the Jane Fonda. The girls were in the group X studio. You know, those days, the girls were skinnier, the guys were brutes. Yeah. And now things have changed. You know, it's all about longevity. It's about wellness. It's about the consumer these days want to be empowered. They want to be stronger. They want to be healthier. They want a better mindset and mentality. So it's really, you know, how things have changed and how people look at fitness in general. It's more become around wellness than just fitness. Fitness is just one component, and what that means for you as an individual. And I think that's the training spaces that we try and create, that you can create a safe space and an environment for like-minded people. Doesn't matter what your goals are.
Yes.
And you know, you mentioned before, you know, we're investing heavily in new technology and new equipment for the women and for the men. Actually, like glute training now is becoming a massive trend.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, we're putting in areas like Booty Builder and our Booty Factory, and that's a whole area on the weight training floor that just focuses on glutes. So, you know, it's always important for us to, you know, just look at what's happening in the world, look at what's trending. Mm. You need to balance out with what do you think is going to be a fad to, you know, what's going to stick. But you must never be careful to try it. You know, rather try new things and change with the times than just get stuck in what we did, you know, 30 years ago.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because typically when I think of the business model of a gym, you know, I think, okay, well, this is high volume, low cost. Get a bench press, you know, get a few barbells and some dumbbells, maybe a treadmill machine or three or two, get the people in and make sure that they come in on a consistent basis to pay off the fees. But as you've mentioned, there are all these various trends. Hyrox is one of those that has me and my friends in a craze right now. A few years ago, it was CrossFit, and we can go on and through the various lists, you know, of these themes. How does keeping current with the necessary trends that speak to your customers' needs then influence your business strategy? Because I can imagine, you know, you've got these fixed costs, sunk costs that you make into the machinery, but yet you constantly have to innovate and update. So for those of us who don't understand the intricacies of the business model of Planet Fitness, take us through a quick overview just to get an understanding.
Yeah, so I think with every new club, we try and see how can we do things differently and how can we better. And, you know, if you do that with every single club, there's, in my mind, a constant evolving, you know, of the brand, of the services, of the facilities.
Yes.
We travel extensively to the big trade shows worldwide, in the US, in Europe. We see what the trends are. We're very connected on social media to see, you know, from the influencers overseas, you know, what is sticking now and where we believe there is traction within the industry. And always just trying, like with Hyrox, you know, we're the Hyrox partner, the only commercial group in South Africa that's the Hyrox partner here, to pick up on those trends early and to ensure that you are able to bring those services, you know, to the members. I mean, the trends that you're looking now, reformer is making a massive comeback. So group reformer training, that's a trend right now. We spoke about the glute training. Stretch and mobility, we're going to start bringing into the clubs now as well. I think stretching and mobility has always been the stepchild of exercise. People are lazy when it comes to stretching. And for us now is, how do we bring specific equipment in, like we did with glutes, that train on stretch, that focus on stretching and mobility, but that we can also do it in a community-based class where it becomes fun to stretch and get mobile and get more flexibility. So, you know, it's really, it's not one thing, it's a combination of many things. For me, exercise is not just the way I used to train in the younger days, was a lot of weight training. Now I do Pilates because I understand at 55, my flexibility is not what it was.
You must be a very strong guy. Those Pilates classes are not a joke.
I wish I crawl out of there like any other member. Every morning I'm like, okay, I'm over this now.
Right.
You know? But just consistently evolving and adapting. You know, people are trying to, we know we're going to live longer. Okay, it's obvious with medicine, and the lines, I think, between medicine and gyms, you know, prevention is becoming very blurred and very gray. And I think there's a lot of focus now in the world on biohacking. How do we live longer, but how do we live longer well? Because if we're going to live longer, you don't want to be fragile. You don't want to be unhealthy, because that I don't think anyone wants to be in that position. And that's why biohacking is coming in. It's becoming very technical. You know, people are doing very individualized training programs, you know, blood work, looking at genetics,
yes,
to understand what supplements we should be taking, what vitamins we should be taking, how we should be training.
Yeah.
And really, it's a combination of all of those things that hopefully will give us that quality of life for many years to come.
You mentioned the intersection with health, and we can't ignore that, because that also speaks to several partnerships we've seen with health insurance or healthcare providers. And it's quite clear, you know, Discovery and Vitality is the leader within the industry. Momentum Sure too with their Multiply initiative. But I'm quite keen to understand, you know, how that level of collaboration as well has not only evolved the health and fitness and gym industry, but what some of the nuances are in terms of how that speaks to heightened levels of retention when it comes to your customer base.
These type of programs help a lot in the sense that they drive behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really incentivizing and trying to attract a healthier individual, a person that's going to claim less,
yes,
a person that's really going to invest in themselves from a health point of view, how often they train, what they eat, what they do. So these medical aids are fighting, and they want those customers. They don't want the sickly customers.
Yes.
And I think that's really where Discovery set the trend. And like you said, they were the market leader in really understanding that if that is the client that we want, what do we provide that client in return for behaving well, for being healthy, and how do we reward them? And we already see a medical aid client behaves very differently to a retail customer. There's more engagement, there's better retention, and a lot more consistency within their access stats if you look at the normal retail person, because the rewards are there.
Yes.
Yeah.
It might just be a smoothie at the end of the day, but it builds up.
It helps. It helps.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, you know, exercises work, you know, at the end of the day. So if the reward is there, you're working towards something. So if you can do that with the community and create the spaces that people enjoy and have fun, then I think we've got a recipe that could work, you know. And it's like I said to you before, the industry as a whole is growing exponentially. In the UK this year, they publicized that they had the highest amount of gym goers in the history.
Really?
And this is after COVID, you know, in the history ever. So it just shows you how many more people are engaged in health clubs and investing in their health and their fitness. And it really starting now with the millennials and the Gen Zs.
Mm.
The youngsters of today think of their health very differently than what we did when we were in our 20s. You know, you just wanted to go out and party and, you know, where's the closest clubs?
Exactly.
For them, fitness is the party.
Exactly.
A lot of kids don't drink. My kids don't even drink. You know, they're not interested in having alcohol. So they're a lot more conscious about their health and their fitness, and they're a lot more engaged in community with like-minded people within the fitness industry.
Fantastic. Yeah. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Manie de Wet. He is the Managing Director and Co-Founder of Planet Fitness. He's joining us in studio to tell us more about the business of gym. And as you can tell, a lot of it is always driven by us as the customer, us as the end consumer, the nuances and behaviors that we adopt that do also shift gym culture, but also gym culture influencing our behavior in terms of the resources that they make available to us. If you have a gym experience, do share it with us, 063-688-0959. Get your voice notes in really quickly, because this conversation's about to heat up. I'm already quite keen as well. You mentioned COVID, and we can't ignore that legacy and the impact it had on the health and fitness space, including gyms like your own. You've publicly opened up about this and even shared some feedback with other entrepreneurs around what you had to do to bring about a level of resilience to your business. Maybe talk us through that, but also perhaps the one key theme or lesson that has been the legacy of the pandemic that you still implement in your business today.
So I think with everything in life that is bad, there's good, and you know, and you need to treat it as such. And I think that gave us the opportunity to really take a step back and say, all right, we didn't know, is this going to be a month? Is it going to be 2 months? Is it going to be 3 months? You know, you couldn't bill your customers. Effectively, we had over 1,000 staff members. We had landlords.
Sure.
So we had to very quickly rethink what our strategy would be, because there was no end game. We were in the hands of government at that time. So we just really, what we had to do was refocus and say, all right, we needed to get ready and prepare for when and if we could reopen.
Yes.
And, you know, it started in the business. Number one, you had to look at the numbers. You know, what expenditure was a nice to have, and what expenditure was a must have. We had to really negotiate from an early stage with the landlords to say, guys, you know, we're in this together. How can we help each other? And how can we work until we can trade again? And the vast majority of them, you know, were, you know, well prepared to assist us and work with us in finding a resolve, because they were in the same boat. And also, you know, just working with the medical aides and that type of environment of how do we keep these customers engaged? Yes. You know, they can't come to gym right now. How do we retain them and keep them engaged? So, you know, we went to digital training. Although we didn't charge the members, we wanted to still be and allow members to be able to train at home or in whatever space they had. So big focus at that time into digital elements. Big focus for us in cost cutting, which, you know, still stands as good up until this day.
Yes.
An opportunity to renegotiate with landlords where we felt, you know, this is unattainable. So there was not one specific, I would say, silver bullet. But for me, the big thing was the whole time communicating with the members.
Yes.
And the whole time telling them what we are doing to get ready. What are we doing to keep them safe? What are we doing around hygiene? And consistently just educating. So when the government said it, that's when you can open, the members came back. You know, we only lost about, I would say, 15% of our base after COVID.
Okay.
By 2023, again, we were back and past our pre-COVID numbers. So we recovered quite quickly. You will never make that back. I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, we're still standing. If you think in our industry and many other industry, yes, but in the gym business specifically, 1 in 4 gyms in the world closed down. So 25% of all gyms in the world closed down.
Sheesh.
But to see how resilient the industry is, how quickly it rebounded, I mean, that's again a good positive story to say that people, you know, everyone, like after COVID, no one's gonna go back to gym. Everyone's gonna be training at home.
If anything,
the digital world is gonna take it over. And the reverse happened. People wanted community. They wanted to train with like-minded people.
Yeah.
They wanted to get back. People were phoning me and say, please just open the gym or just allow me into the club. And, you know, that rebounded quite quickly. So, you know, we came out a lot stronger.
100%. I'm so intrigued that you mentioned that, because there's a twofold question that I want to take in terms of this avenue. You mentioned an important stat. 1 in 4 gyms globally actually closed down post the pandemic. So it really has been survival of the fittest. We also see it with a few of your competitors in the industry. Not only has it been very competitive, there's Virgin Active, there's Move. Of course, we've got you as Planet Fitness within the South African ecosystem. And of course, privately owned gyms as well, which you know, are driven by personalities and brands at times. Number one, the differentiator for you, especially given that you have 51 gyms nationwide. But I'm also intrigued about the location and the strategic focus of saying, this is the area we play in. These particular environments don't necessarily work for us. Mm. And I have noted that a few of your counterparts have closed down in some of our townships or, I guess, residential areas. And most Planet Fitness centers are always, the clubs are always around a business center, very easy and accessible, busy road network, and not necessarily within this local and smaller communities that we see, except for the likes of Just Gym, which also falls under your umbrella. So maybe talk to us about the competitive environment and also how strategic and deliberate you are about your location, partnership with landlords as well.
Growing as a business, I think that the best school in the world, I always say, is the school of hard knocks. You know, when you make mistakes, you learn very quickly in business. And when you open clubs for your ego in business, you also you get to learn very quickly when and when not to open clubs.
Yes.
And also not to overspend on your CapEx.
Yes.
And also on your TI of those clubs. So the clubs...
TI, for those who aren't aware?
That's all your interior, your tiles, your change rooms, your pools, anything that
and
you
that
cannot
can
carry
add
out.
Up, right?
Because it's millions, millions and millions and millions of rands.
Mm.
And you'll see, you know, also if you look at South Africa, where electricity prices have gone. So, you know, what we now try and do is we cluster clubs up. So if we've got a wet club with two pools, then around it, we will do dry clubs, which are more cost effective, slightly smaller. There we might focus more on high rocks, or in this club we'll put a big emphasis on reformer training. And so if there is a swimmer, then hey, go use the Wanderers Club, it's available to you. If you're a really high rocks kind of guy, then come to Sandton Gate, or you understand what I'm saying. So we cluster these clubs up, so we give people the option without feeling that we have to put a mega club down with that type of cost, and then you need a base that is, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 members in order to make that club really profitable. So bigger and more, in my mind, has never been the goal.
Gotcha.
It's really making sure we put the right clubs in the right areas, like you mentioned. And I can normally see that when I look at the other tenants going in. So if they're like-minded brands, Dis-Chem, Woolworths,
yes,
you know, then I know people are shopping healthy, the new Checkers there, you know, the footfall will be there. It's a community area. So in many ways, the developers do, but you know, make our lives easier for us and we can cherry pick a little bit. But in many cases, we've done freestanding clubs as well, you know, where there's nothing around us and we're basically the anchor, we're supporting ourselves. So sometimes you take a bit of a gamble and you roll the dice and it works, you know, most of the time, luckily it does. For me, the old school way, I go sit in an area, I sit in my car, or I sit in the coffee shop.
Really?
I watch people. I watch the cars, I watch the people, I watch the community. Is this a like-minded fitness community? And if, you know, gut feel as an old pilot, you know.
Yes, actually.
Yeah. For me, when in doubt, there's no doubt. You know, so if you're doubting it, rather walk away. You know, take the clubs that you know are going to work. And really make sure that you connect with the community. We're community gyms. We support the community. Mm. And the community supports us. And I think if that balance is there and you work within those communities, you'll always be successful.
100%. Mania, I'm going to take the opportunity of trying to extend this interview slightly. I know that we do have to take ads, but there is a voice note that has come through as a question from one of our listeners. So I do want us to play just to respond to perhaps what this gym fanatic might want to ask you. Before, we'll try and get you the headphones. If not, we'll turn off your mic so that you can actually hear the audio as well. But let's hear.
Yeah, I used to attend one in Newtown. It was right in front of my workplace. So yeah, I think it was 2017, if I'm not mistaken. The gym is very clean and the showers are very clean. I really had fun. If I didn't lose my job, I would have still continued. So unfortunately, COVID happened and yeah.
I have one question for him though. Where was the first club opened and does that club still exist today?
Fantastic. Oh, lovely voice notes that we had. One, the question was from one of our listeners as well, Teddy, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll confirm that name. Great voice notes that have come through so far. Where was the first club open? Is it still operational?
The first club that we had was in Benoni, in Rhinefield. We've got two clubs in Benoni now, so we've actually moved the base, but we now have got so what we normally would do is we would run a club for a period. But if there's an opportunity to build a newer facility or more upmarket in the area with the development, then we will go into that development and just move the base across.
Gotcha.
So that way, every 10 years or so at the end of the lease, we can make a choice. Do we want to stay? If we feel it's a great club and a great location.
Has that always been lease dependent?
Or? Yeah, it will be lease dependent. And we have an option for another 10 years every single time. So, or is there another opportunity close by that is even better? And then if you can move your base, then it's great. You know what I'm saying? Because you give them a new lease on life, you give them new equipment. So at that point, we'll make the decision. If we decide to stay, then we do a full refurb in any case. Mm. So we'll bring in new equipment, new kit. So every 10 years, our members effectively, you know, get a whole new club or brand new facility. So that's really what we try and do over a 10-year cycle. Of course, during those 10 years, when we...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
There's another voice note coming through. That's right, all we're discussing. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, just consistently evolving. Like when we do Reformer now or we do Booty Builder, we'll upgrade, I would say, let's say 30 to 40% of our clubs. So we'll invest in the clubs on an ongoing basis and always make sure there's something new every year or two for a member that they haven't seen before, you know, and move the stuff around. So it's really just innovating all the time and reinvesting back into that clubs. Yeah.
Got you. Your best performing gym, and I guess that's a difficult one, right? Because it depends on the size, the scale, the location, and they also have different nuances and attractions and reasons why people come.
Clattercliff, Watercliff Ridge, Olympus, there's a few of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's another voice note that's come through. However, the listeners remained anonymous.
I love, love, love this topic. And I would just wanted to find out, right? Isn't there a way that your Planet Fitness can like sponsor or I'm not sure how the model would work, but you know, when in the townships, you find that we really struggle to find like the nearest Planet Fitness where you would have to travel about 30 minutes before that. So I'm just wondering if you thought of a model for like townships that could work. It doesn't have to be like probably a but working in partnership with, you know, the township gyms and equipping them, you know, with information, you know, empowerment. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Sounds like we've got an entrepreneur here on the cards, eh? Also trying to make sure that it's more accessible within the townships. Your thoughts here, Mania?
Yeah. You know, for me, it's you know, townships vary. And we've had success stories with Just Gym. So yes. Just Gym is a brand that we brought out, not specifically for the township market, just
more
to
the
bring
dry
a
gym,
more
right?
affordable,
yes.
lower cost, let's call it a budget option, out into the market that is just more affordable for the general person in the street, and that they can have access to these type of facilities, you know. And we've opened clubs, like you mentioned, in Newtown, you know, Mama Lordy, Hum and Scroll. Some of them have worked well, some of them haven't worked well. I personally believe that the gym business is going to have to sit back and rethink how we enter that market. In my mind, a normal annuity type structure, or let's call it a debit order type base, is not ideal. I think you need to move into more of a cash type structure or pay as you go. And I think that's really where the S&C, there are a few gym groups that do quite aggressively play in that market, and they're doing quite well. So I think it's just a question of time, and those type of gyms will expand. And, you know, Just Gym for us as well, we will expand. And it's going to be a bit of a trial and error. It is quite a unique market. But for me, it's about not just about the gyms. It's the bigger challenge is between us and government. How do we bring health and fitness to those communities? Because it's not always having to go to gym. How do we educate better? You know, for me, the biggest threat in life is not my competitors, it's the couch. You know, how do I get that person and educate them where they get off the couch and they do something? I don't care if they get on a bicycle, if they start running, or if they come to my gym. But the main thing for me is I know that eventually if people change their mindset and they start investing in their health, they will eventually join a club. You know, 100%. So for me, it's about education and really, like you said, working with the medical aides, working with government, working with the communities, and really just keep on educating and investing in people and teaching them, you know, to invest in themselves.
100%. You've taught us so many lessons here, and I appreciate the comment that you had in response to the last question, because it really does speak to, yes, you know, prioritizing the growth of the business, but what you've actually spoken to is purpose. You know, we could open up the gym, you know, in any township, but you also want to make sure that the impact is felt, that it is sustainable for the consumer, which does speak to that theme that many South Africans have been frustrated about when it comes to the cancellation of contracts. But as you say, the industry is thinking about it, and you are as well at Planet Fitness. There's so many leadership lessons that I want us to touch on, but here's one final voice note before we wrap up our conversation.
Lemon, yeah, my friend, I'm outside your Hazelwood gym right now. Guys, you're sitting with a legend, a man I've known for many years, a pioneer of the business, and just setting trends, from the way he conducts himself, public to private, an all-round friend, a scholar, a gentleman, and a Pilates fan. Joking, love you, brother. Well done.
Love it, a Pilates fan. Manya, that must be heartwarming. From Simon, he says he's sitting outside your gym and he's clearly singing your praises.
Okay, yeah, I mean, a lot of compliments. I'm blushing as I'm sitting over here. Thank you, Simon.
We really appreciate
the kind words.
We don't mind. I guess before we let you go, you've taught us so much in terms of entrepreneurs, you know, riding the wave and putting in the graft, but also being adaptable to the environment as and when needed, understanding the needs of your consumers, placing those first, and understanding the contribution you make to the ecosystem. And also even for us as South African, you know, citizens, really, that we all should prioritize our health, regardless of where it is that we're going. But understanding that gyms do offer the necessary infrastructure, support, data, and even innovative solutions to help us meet our needs, whether it's building your glutes or, you know, making sure that you're more mobile and stretch. But to close off with, I do want us to wrap it off with the impact you have on the economy, given that this is a business show. 51 clubs. The jobs you must create, the service providers you must hire, the additional clients, and the multiplier effect. Help us put that into context.
So, I mean, well over 1,000 employees, and then I'm not talking about people that work within our clubs, like your personal trainers that are actually independent, that's got their own businesses, biokineticists, dietitians, our suppliers, our staff members, like I mentioned before. You know, it's R1 billion a year business. So, you know, we're in business to grow and to be profitable. And, you know, for me, at the end of the day, the more profitable we are, the more we can reinvest in the clubs, the better facilities, the better services, the better equipment we can bring back into the market. And, you know, in South Africa, you know, people actually don't realize, but we trendsetters. I think what Health and Racket started back in the day was really set the standard for health clubs in the world.
Really?
It was unlike, you could travel anywhere in the US, you would not see a club like that. So we've got great clubs here, and the members can be quite proud of the product that is being put out, not just by us, but by our competitors as well.
Mania, we wish you all the best. This has been such a fulfilling and exciting conversation. And yes, thank you for the gentle reminder to help us understand that we really are key leaders within the space that we're in. Next time I see, I'm already thinking of that aerobics music. Be that party beat boy. Remember on the ECB?
Exactly.
Hopefully our technical guys can find it. But such a pleasure speaking to you. Onwards and upwards. And thank you for your contribution to the economy, but also our health.
Yeah, we'll always stay humble and hopefully we'll continue growing and building more clubs and taking it out to the community. And thank you so much for having me.
Definitely. That's Mania De Wet. He's the Managing Director and Co-Founder of Planet Fitness joining us for Inside Your Business tonight. It's 12 minutes after 7 o'clock.
That's the sound of your business growing. Whether you're starting out or scaling up, turn your passion into profit with Capitec Business Banking. Save up to 50% on fees. Get fast credit approvals, personalized support, and Forex for your business. Open your business banking account on our app. Bank on better with Capitec, the business bank for everyone.
Coming up on Kaya Biz
tonight. Capitec is an authorized FSP, 46669. T's and C's apply.